Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I want to get right into my talk today, and there's a couple of different styles of teaching. And one of the styles can be that someone would learn it, teach it, then live it. All right? So learn it, teach it, live it. I don't have that privilege because I don't feel like I'm the brightest guy in the world. I'm more of that street smart, not the IQ smart, you know. And but one of the models that I've come into my life is I learn it, I live it, and I wrestle it, and then I release it. All right, so that is the model that I have. And today, I bring a word to you of something the Lord whispered in my spirit 3 weeks ago, and then the wrestle began. And it was this phrase, heavenly invasion. I don't quite remember where I was at, but it was in a spontaneous moment that I heard this phrase, and it hit my spirit, and I got excited. And it hit my spirit. I got excited, and I was also like, it might get a little crazy around here. and it's funny, over the next couple of weeks, we begin to see God move in different, unique ways. And I just see this invasion of heaven coming in. But what happened as I begin to lean into that space, I actually heard the Lord say, Andrew, it is way more than a gathering. I'm actually wanting to release heaven over homes and over families. And that's what has gotten me excited. And that is what I've actually been on a journey of wrestling. What does that look like in some of our mundane lives? What does that look like in some of our wrestles that we're in? What does that look like when all hell is coming to get against you? How do we partner with the Lord to bring heaven into this place? An invasion is interesting. An invasion is coming into many times an enemy territory and establishing government into a place. Jesus was the one that said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is right there. And actually, wherever the kingdom of God is wherever the rule and reign of Jesus Christ is established. So I believe one of the challenges that we face within our church cultures, we've been in this come and see mentality. So it's always been come and see. And if we have an open heaven over this place, guarantee people are going to come and see. But I believe the Lord is shifting things in the body of Christ where it is not a come and see only, but it is a go and be. I believe we've created models that are so dependent on people coming constantly. And what are we doing? We are just burning our leaders out. And we are making it so much about the Sunday, but what about the Monday? What about the Tuesday? What about when? Oh, wait, you have Connect Group on Wednesday. You'll be right then. What about Thursday? What about Friday? What about Saturday? What about the days that you go through when you're in the restless situation? Are we equipping the body of Christ to bring heaven with them wherever they go? Not just a come and see, but a go and be. I believe with all my heart, there's going to be an invasion of heaven in this place every single week. I believe it. I believe that we're going to be seeing bodies healed, sinuses relieved. I love the purity of that. The Lord just cares about us. People being healed without even people having to lay on, just because the presence of God in this place. He was doing deep level of ministering in hearts today. And it's not just a come and see, but it's actually a go and be. You see, when you look at the life of Jesus, he carried the kingdom of God with him. We see different moments in scriptures whenever the waves were crashing against him, the wind was blowing. Everyone was just in panic and freaking out. But what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping in the boat. He was operating under a different reign than what was going on around him. Even Jesus, when he stepped into places, many times the church, what happened? Demons begin to tremble. Interesting, in the church, he would step in and demons would begin to tremble. He was bringing an invasion of heaven into this earth. You see, there's an invitation for you and I to bring heaven with us wherever we go. And maybe you have that coworker that, man, they just don't like you for some reason. Well, maybe they're manifesting because you're bringing the kingdom. No, I don't know. Maybe you're bringing something with you that is disturbing something there. But guys, we do have an invitation to bring the kingdom of heaven with us wherever we go. It's a calling in this hour, in this season, and it's what he's inviting you and I into. More than a come and see, but a go and be. You see, I just believe that there's a new rhythm that God is inviting the body of Christ into. And I've been in a journey and a wrestle for maybe 15, 16, 17 years with this longing in my spirit. There's got to be more to how we're doing church. And sometimes that was an immaturity, I would think that. Sometimes it was in judgment, pointing a finger, and the Lord would rebuke me and go on a journey. But actually, it's been in a place, I believe, of purity and prayer. Lord, I just believe that there is more that you are calling the body of Christ to than just a going through a set list, hearing an encouraging sermon, and going out and seeing how many people are here and just going forward. Like, I've just had this longing in my spirit. Lord, there has to be more than just going through that process. And I do believe where God is going, the church is going to need to make some shifts and maneuvers, or it's going to be stuck. It's going to be stagnant. Can I encourage you? This church service that we gather will not be stagnant. All right? And let me encourage you, we might push the limits a little bit too far. And let me encourage you, we will have people say, hey, you pushed it too far. All right. Then we might take a step back and reevaluate. But I would rather be in a place where we're maybe pushing the limit of what God is doing than actually someone saying, come on, are we going to do anything today? Is God going to move today? Like, we're going to respond to the Spirit of God. And I think we have to be so careful to judge what is true worship and what isn't. Guys, what moves God's heart is many times not what moves our hearts. Like, and here's the thing, guys, we have to be discerners of spirit. Yeah, if someone's going crazy and swinging from the chandeliers, and man, that might be what the Lord wants to do today. I don't know. Do you know? But maybe something happens where it's like all of a sudden you have this red flags going off. Okay, I don't want my comfort to be the dictator of that. I want the Spirit of God to be the dictator of that. Because maybe it's that person swinging from that chandelier that break open heaven over this place, and some of the bondage and change of religion that has been holding us back are set free. I don't know. Do you know? All right? Not that we're going to do that. We might. I don't know how sturdy they are, but funny example. Guys, when the glory of God comes into a place, sometimes things that we put value on just don't matter. You know, I've seen a clock govern services for so long, and we honor people's time. When the glory of God's in the room, sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes some people need to be break some things off and dance and move and get a flag and whatever. Like there needs to be a freedom of expression that we carry. But if it's self-seeking, yeah, we'll call it out. But if it's unto the Lord, all the more. All the more. I just say we encourage just a freedom to worship in this place. I see heaven invading in this place. And that will challenge every single one. It will challenge me. But we'll go on the journey together as a community and as a family. And I want to look at a passage of scripture out of the book of Romans. And I'm just super excited. There's so many different things I could have taught out of, but this just stood out to me for what he wanted to release today. And so here's we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Let me just read this. If you have your Bibles, James, do you have your Bible? Okay. I was going to say, if you're calling everybody out for not having a Bible, you better be opening your Bible right now. All right. So Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. All right, I'm looking forward to unpackaging this passage and how this connects for you to bring heaven to any place you are at any time in any moment. All right, so here we go. He starts off with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Here's the interesting thing. Your calling will always change. We always put such a high value of calling, maybe more than even God does, because it brings fulfillment and like ticks a box, and I did this, I accomplished this. There can be a purity in that. Your calling will change, but one thing that will remain the same is a servant of Jesus Christ. Guys, you serve the things that you love. Jesus so loved the church that he laid his life down for the church. He served the church. It is my joy to serve my wife. It is my wife's joy to serve me. It is my joy to serve my kids. It is my joy to serve this house where I feel like we have maybe erred in the church, where we have made the leader become more of a leader and less of a servant. Can I tell you the number one role of a leader of a house is actually to serve a house. I believe God in this season, in this hour, hear me, young people, if you're saying, I want to go all out in ministry. I want to go to a church. I want to lead a church. I want to do some of the models that you've seen. And if that has been what you're aiming for, it's wrong. And do not step into this place. If you're saying, oh, I want to be a leader, but at the number one foundation, I want to be a servant. And I'm sorry if we've modeled leadership over servanthood. God needs better servants rather than better leaders in this season, in this hour. Better leaders, and if you draw to yourself, hey, they're going to let you down. I might let you down, but we're not called to be better leaders. We're called to be better servants. I guess where I'm excited about this season and hour of the body of Christ, I've never seen myself as this dominant leader, but I've seen myself as a servant. And I heard the Lord just through my wife. We were praying one night and I was in a wrestle. And she said, Andrew, the Lord, he's never called you to be a leader. He's called you to be a son. And as she released that, it was like, I can do that. I can be a son. I can be a leader. And I'll just let other people lead, you know what I'm saying? We need better servants in this season, in this hour, in the body of Christ. And he goes on to say that from David, according to the flesh, was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Holy Spirit in his resurrection from the dead. So we see that Jesus, he was born of the seed of David. So we see this flesh side. That's why Jesus was fully man. But also we see his divinity, that he is also fully God. So Jesus, flesh, fully man, spirit, fully God. You see, you and I, what do we have? We have a flesh nature. And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, made him the Lord of your life, the Spirit of God is indwelling on inside of you, that you have a spirit nature inside of you. Now, I'm not putting you on the category of Jesus Christ because you are not divine. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was before time. There is a divinity with Jesus, but there was a flesh and a spirit. And it's interesting to me that Jesus, it actually says that in power by the Spirit of holiness, which is actually, there's a couple different theological thoughts. The number one that I align with is actually Spirit of holiness is Holy Spirit. So Jesus, it says, fully man, fully God, but it was actually in power of the Holy Spirit that he raised from the dead. So if Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit to do divine things, how much more do you and I need to be in power of the Holy Spirit? How much more do we need not to be operating in the flesh, but actually learning how to operate in the Spirit of God? See, if we're going to bring heaven into this place, it's not going to be by your flesh. It will be by His power, in power, by the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? All right? We cannot do it on our own. It needs to be in the Spirit. So I guess a question that I have, are you operating in the Spirit? Within your daily tasks that you're going to? Whatever profession that you have, are you operating in your natural gifting that God has blessed you with, that He used and can make a difference, but are you stepping into the Spirit in power? You see, are you being dependent upon the Holy Spirit? Or are you operating in your flesh? Your flesh will fade. Your spirit man's always alive. You see, what I begin to realize is how often do I operate on my natural ability? Or am I stepping into this place where all of a sudden this burden is easy? This yoke is light because I am stepping in power into the Holy Spirit. Now for me, one of the ways that I do that is by praying in my heavenly language, praying in tongues. And I did not come from a Pentecostal background. It's funny, when I moved to Australia, I'm like, oh, these are Pentecostals in Australia. You know, after going to a couple of Pentecostal churches. And I actually, when I got saved, I actually was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak in tongues. And there was church denominations around me that viewed me in a cult because I spoke in tongues. And it was an interesting journey. It was a wrestle that I went on. And I went on a journey with the Lord, but I feel like I found the purity in that space. And there was a couple of scriptures that stood out to me. Jude 1:24, that we edify our spirit by praying in our heavenly language. And all of a sudden, God called me to be a man of faith. How am I a man of faith? By natural? No, I would edify my spirit, and faith would begin to rise inside of me. And there was another just passage of scripture that just so connected to my spirit. And it was in Romans chapter 8. I believe it's verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. See, what I loved about this, and many times I step into prayer, I'm like, I don't know what to pray. Early on in my faith, I'm like, I don't know what to pray. I wasn't too eloquent in words and in different things. I didn't know a whole lot of stuff in Scripture, so I didn't know what to pray. So what I found in the Scripture said, when you don't know what to pray, what do? You pray in the Spirit. In that prayer language. And what would begin to happen in that place, God would begin to download His will into my life. And He would begin to download things into my spirit. And all of a sudden, I had something to pray when I prayed in the Spirit. And there's actually, it's funny, many times I don't realize I'm doing it. When we were younger, my kids, man, every one of them, they prayed in the Spirit since they were 3 years old. You want to know why? Were they baptized in the Spirit? Or just because that's what Daddy did and that's just what they thought they did? I don't know. But the Spirit's definitely on them. You know. But I remember Reese one time. I hired some guys to do some work outside, and they were Spanish. And Reese goes, they're speaking in Spanish. She goes, oh, Dad, he speaks in his prayer language. So Reese starts, and honestly, I'm like, and it sounded pretty much like Spanish what Reese was, I'm like, dude, she could have had a full-blown conversation with the guy. I don't know. One time I was walking down a hallway, and a guy knew me, and he goes, were you praying in tongues to the theme song Frozen in tune? I'm like, I don't know, was I? You know? This last weekend, we were on a bike race, and there's this one hill that just kills you. It's about 70K into the race. Your legs are blowing up. I had one cramp. going straight across this leg, one cramp going straight across, like you can see my muscle bent in half, and I'm like climbing up this hill, and I got some other people in pain next to me. I'm talking to them, they're yelling curse words, all this stuff, and I'm over here, sha-da-da-da, yeah-da-da, just praying in tongues. I don't care, Jesus, I need you. I need you in this moment. When my spirit is weak, I pray in the spirit, and faith begins to rise up in this space. You see, and the reason I share some of this, because hey, we will have structure and order in places. And there's one scripture within the passage of 1 Corinthians that talks about speaking in tongues and having an interpretation, that we don't want to bring confusion into a house. Now, one thing I will say, the church sign is pneuma, which actually means what? Spirit. We kind of put an anthem out. We're spirit-led church. This is who we are. But again, you have to look in context and look at the wholeness of the Bible. Because also within 1 Corinthians, it does talk about women not speaking in a church. Now, where people have tried to translate that to being pastors, but actually within that context, it was like, well, if you take it literal, it means there's no talking at all. There was a context of a situation that was taking place, and it was the church of Corinth was actually just speaking in tongues over and over and over and over again, and there was no, but even if you notice in a part of some of our gatherings, there'll be a speaking in tongues, because guys, we don't know where the Spirit is going. Jesus said, I only speak what I see the Father do. I only hear what He speaks, and Jesus, dependent upon the teacher, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, responded to that. So hey, all the more, when we don't know where He's going, we're going to pray in the spirit until our spirit is quickened to release. But how does that translate to our world? Guys, before you go into a meeting that you might be stressed about, you know, you might need to find a place in secret and quiet and go for a walk. Lord, I don't know what to say. You begin to pray in the spirit. You begin to build up your faith, edify your spirit. So now you're soaked in the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit said, I will equip you and teach you what to share. You see, I loved, we had our team advance and Dave and Nat Adi speaking at it. And there's a couple things that she shared about being a part of a prophetic culture. And one of the things she shared, being a part of prophetic culture, you are released to bring light to darkness. That you are released to bring answers to problems, solutions to problems, light to darkness. But what I loved, she was talking about your workplace. She was talking about the very natural things in front of you. Can I encourage you with whatever is in front of you? You are called to bring the kingdom of heaven in light into darkness. You see, it might even be like Daniel. See, Daniel, God put him in, he served under four different kingdoms, but always elevated, always favored, always brought light. Yeah, his secret weapon was what? He prayed in secret 3 times a day. It wasn't like he was out there professing, praying. No, he had spaces to fill his spirit up, to come in and take with authority. See, what I've realized in my life, guys, the very answers that I need may not be found in a prophetic voice, but actually I need to open my spirit up. Lord, you've given me authority in this place to find solutions to problems. You've given some of these leaders and teams solutions to problems, light unto darkness. We carry the kingdom of God with us. You hearing me today? Like, that's what you carry. Can you have this epiphany that, wow, I bring light to darkness wherever I'm at, whatever you've called me to? And it goes on to say in Romans chapter 1, and it says this, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. So here's the interesting thing. That word, we have received, that word actually means to take possession of. We have received, we have taken ownership of, we have taken possession of. We carry it, and now we can release it. You see, grace is beautiful. Grace is the favor of God. Grace is supernatural things that we can't even put into our human words to explain. But I heard someone make this definition of grace. It's a mentor of the faith to me, a father of the faith, and I've taken it to be my own because I valued him and I valued what he shared so much. And I remember being disconnected from the statement that he shared. And he said, the grace of God, this is what it means to me. For me to be all I've been called to be and do all I've been called to do. And I remember him releasing that going, I don't know that grace. But I remember seeing his life in the weight, in the authority, in the power that was upon his voice. And what he shared in that thing, he believed it to be true. Like, he was so dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It was almost like he had nothing to say if the Spirit of God did not fall upon him. The grace of God. Can we be people that are so dependent not on our flesh, but actually dependent upon the Holy Spirit in our life to accomplish the things that are set before us? Jesus was dependent. And Jesus said, it's better that I go, that I send the helper. It's better that I go. I almost hear this phrase. I almost wonder if the church needs to take on that mantra. It's better that we don't make it all about our Sunday and we make it about you go and have the Holy Spirit equipping you in your life. He says, it's better that I go. So it says, have we received? Have you taken possession of the grace of God in your life? Have you taken ownership of those spaces? You see, one of the problems about being a part of a revival type culture, you could be in the river on Sunday, but because the soil of your heart is not stirred up, you could be amongst it and be a part of it, but go home and there's a disconnect. Because what I would say is you're not taking ownership or possession of the grace of God. You see, when there's something begin to stir in your spirit on a Sunday, now it is your role to take possession of. God whispered heavenly invasion. I could hear it move on, or I could begin to take possession of. Does that make sense? Here's one of the challenges that I see in many times a younger generation, is especially when we have an Instagram, YouTube culture. We can hear something. We can hear this thing. Right now there's a trend about ministering to the Lord, and oh, that is what true worship is. And sometimes people will hear it, and I'll say, okay, this, but they haven't actually gone on a journey to take possession of it where there becomes an authority in that space. Guys, it is so important that we learn how to actually wrestle in secret with the Lord. It's so important that we do that in secret, all right? That we learn how to grab and take a hold of, to walk in authority. Are you taking possession of the grace of God? It was interesting. Jesus spent 30 years in secret for 3 years of public ministry, 30 years of taking possession of the grace of God. And there was a deep level of authority that he walked in. See, sometimes we want to walk in something, but we haven't taken on journey to take possession of. So there's not the same weight, authority. That can take time. That can take a journey that we go on. It was Paul, when he saw, had the conversion from Saul to Paul, had this encounter with Jesus. Guys, for 14 years, he hid himself in secret with the Lord. And Jesus Christ revealed himself, the doctrine, the gospel, everything else. He said it wasn't the apostles, it wasn't the Jewish, the temple. It was Jesus himself that revealed things to him. What happened? He took possession of the grace of God in his life, and then he stepped out in authority in his public ministry. Are we taking possession of the things of the Lord in this season? Because when we do that, Because I'm hounding on this because we will not see heaven invade our homes and our families if we do not learn how to take possession of stuff. Do you hear me? Are you with me today? Like we have to teach a generation how to take possession, not be dependent upon just coming on a Sunday, which, hear me in this. I believe if you create an atmosphere where heaven's here, who wants to miss that? I'm not saying we don't want people here. No, I think there's going to be things released every single week. But more than us getting people dependent upon this, like, are we teaching people to own their faith, to take possession of, to wrestle out? Jacob wrestled with the angel. Like, I'm not leaving until you bless. I'm not leaving until I see breakthrough in this space. All right, heavenly invasion will come, I believe, on the other side of taking possession what God is stirring in your heart, in your life right now. Let's steward the stirring. All right, then it goes on to say that you have received grace and apostleship. So here's what apostleship means. Apostleship means sent one. So can I release over every single one of you that there's apostleship released in your life? That I'm not saying that there's apostles, I'm saying apostleship, that you are sent ones to whatever is in front of you. So here's what I know, my wife and I, my family, we are sent ones to the city Perth. That there is apostleship in my life over this city. My wife and I are sent ones to Numa, Perth, West, and there is an authority that we carry, because apostleship also is a military term. And actually, it's a military term. There's authority in it. And it also means ambassador, which that means a representation. We are representing Jesus in this city. We carry the kingdom of heaven with us. And there is an authority to bring light into darkness in this city. There is authority to actually bring light into darkness and bring heaven onto this earth. If we look at the prayer that Jesus prayed, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tell me a more wild prayer that Jesus could have prayed. That is a wild prayer that he prays. But he invites us into that space, that there is an authority upon me to come in. And can I tell you that there is an authority upon you in whatever you are doing? If you are sent to your school as a principal, there's an authority, there's an apostleship upon you, the Holy Spirit is with you, and you can bring light to darkness in those places, answers to solutions. Like whatever workplace that he has called you to, there is an authority. So sometimes when pressure and overwhelming begins to happen, what do you need to do? Holy Spirit, I'm called to bring kingdom of heaven to this earth. And it's interesting, I have been practicing this because, man, what do you do when you get a prophetic word from someone that says, man, slow down? And 10 minutes later, you get another prophetic word that says, speed up. Okay, what are we doing? We're a prophetic culture. And there's a lot of filtering that happens. And all of a sudden, there's a lot of noise, a lot of stuff that's all of a sudden, it's like this weight or this pressure. And all of a sudden, I have to hit pause and say, Lord, you have released apostleship on my life. God, what are you saying? And all of a sudden, as he filters that peace in my spirit, dang, I got an answer to this problem. Dang, I got light in me to bring to this. Whatever work you're doing, there is light inside of you for that problem. Quit being so overwhelmed. Quit operating in the flesh. Maybe we need to step in power of the Holy Spirit to walk in authority. He has given you authority for what you're in. You hearing me today? Let's not be stressed out. Let's not be burnt out. No, let's come to the Father. He has given you answers. But you know what I'm also a sent one to? I'm a sent one to my home. That there's authority in me to cast out darkness that's in my home. Man, whenever one of my kids comes in our room from from an attack of the enemy or from a dream. Man, you should see my wife roll up her sleeves. Come on now. We're getting on. Like, we're taking care of business. There's an authority that is upon us. Guys, there's an authority to raise a generation, to disciple a generation. There's an authority in your home. Kids, there's an authority that's in your home. There's an authority upon you for your school, whatever you're doing. Guys, there's an authority upon me to actually, in the athletics program that I serve, that I bring light to darkness. There's an authority upon me with the baseball team that I coach for my son, Lawson, that's way better than cricket. I come into that place. I come into that place, and you know what? I bring light to darkness to this place. I bring peace to a storm with whatever's going on. Guys, there is apostleship upon you. And if you come under that revelation, this is really, I probably could have not even spoke so long and just shared this little nugget. If you come under the realization that there's a grace for you to possess, and actually there is apostleship on your life, that he has sent you as an ambassador to whatever is in front of you, that you have the answer to the problems that you face in the Spirit, in power, by the Holy Spirit, man, what difference could that make in your life? How much joy could you bring to the home? I'll tell you, as I've been practicing this, I've seen my joy factor rise. Not stress, joy. God's wanting to release joy in this house. And the worship team can come forward today. And it says this, to bring about the obedience of faith. It's interesting because that word faith, it actually means trust. That word faith actually means confidence. What would your life look like if you were bringing confidence into your home and trust in the Lord? Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence and our trust is in him, that he has graced me. Guys, there's a confidence that he wants to release in this house. There's a confidence that he wants to release into your life. I see people walking with their chest high in confidence in the Holy Spirit. If your confidence has been hit, he actually wants to restore that today. If you've been walking with your head down in your faith, your head down in your occupation, saying you don't have what it takes, can I tell you the most freeing thing in the world to say, I don't have what it takes, but in Christ, in his power, by the Holy Spirit, I bring light to this place. He wants to release a confidence into this room and into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And I love how this finishes. For the sake of his name among the nations. Why do we do what we do? For the sake of his name. Why do we gather on a Sunday? For the sake of his name. Why do we come and take authority in our homes? For the sake of his name. Can we purify our reasoning? Can we purify why we do what we do? Maybe quit making this thing so much about us and our performance and actually really, truly begin to make it about him. It's amazing when I really make everything about him, just the burdens and the cares, just whew. It's not his yoke. That's not his. Man, if I could just take some yokes and some burdens and just wash them away for the sake of his name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Father.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.